Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my guest today, gosh, this is going to be a really fun episode because, you know, my guests that come on that share their Lyme conquering story, there's a lot of them are so similar, right? You know, we've done this protocol, we've done that protocol, we did antibiotics, whatever it is that we did. And my guest today is really quite the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. She truly had turned her, you know, the term pharmacy into pharmacy with an F. So she learned how to fuel her body with what it needs to support it so that it can heal itself. And I think this just sounds fascinating. I know that God is amazing and he created an amazing human being in all of us that truly we are able to heal our bodies given the right tools. And the right tools are the things that my guest found to fuel her body. And so I'm excited to hear her journey and share it with you listeners. Along with, you know, conquering Lyme, she also is a survivor of a breast implant illness, right? So she discovered that her breast implants were causing her havoc as well. And today's an extra special day because it was a year ago today that she had them removed. So we're going to kind of dive into that. I appreciate her being vulnerable and discussing this topic with me today because it's sensitive, but I think it's important that we share all the stuff for you listeners out there to be able to gather all the information you need to be able to help you along your journey. And then she's also an author of a book. She wrote Pizza Bagel with a Splash of Lyme, which is a very interesting title. So my first question for her is going to be, where did this title come from? But anyway, so I am excited to welcome to the show Stacey Arnon. Thank you so much for joining me, Stacey.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so that is my first question. That is a very unique title, Pizza Bagel with a Splash of Lyme. Tell me, how did you get the title?
Okay, so my mom is Jewish, Russian, Polish, and my father is an Italian Catholic. So growing up, I used to call myself a pizza bagel because it's the two combined. And then Lyme, L-Y-M-E, is Lyme disease. So actually on the cover of my book is a pizza bagel that I made from scratch, a real one. And then I'm squeezing a lime on top of it, holding it in my hand in the woods.
So clever. I love it.
Thank you.
So clever. Okay. So where would we want to start? Let's go ahead and start with, you know, because probably the beginning of your story is much like many others out there. So mm-hmm. You're having all of these random symptoms, right? You're starting to chase. So kind of when did it all start and what did it start with? What were your symptoms like and how were you feeling? Were you healthy most of your life and then all of a sudden you knew you got bit by a tick or all of a sudden you just started having some symptoms?
Okay. So I'm from suburb New Jersey. So I played outside in the woods, went to sleepaway camp. I moved to Florida in 2001. And, you know, it's warm here most of the year. So we're outside a lot more. We don't have the seasons. And then I went camping several years after I lived here. And 2 days after I got home, I was in the shower and I found a tick on my side. So I tried to get it out, which is really hard to do. You have to get the legs and the head, which I thought I did. And I didn't think anything of it. And I now looking back, I had a stiff neck that would not go away for 3 months. That was my first symptom. I'd wake up in the middle of the night crying, get into an Epsom salt lavender bath. And I was also realized later I was exposed to mold, and sometimes mold activates or triggers Lyme disease. So that was how it started. And then I did not have a bullseye. So a lot of people say you have to have a bullseye, which I did not. And that is not true.
Correct. In fact, most people, the percentage of cases that actually get a bullseye rash are getting lower and lower and lower. Mm. Most people aren't. But yes, if you get a bullseye rash, 100% you've been infected with it. Now, does that mean you're going to get sick? No. Maybe your immunity is strong, your foundation's strong, and it doesn't allow the pathogens, but you definitely are infected with it if you have a bullseye. And then if you, you know, don't have a bullseye, obviously you saw the tick on you. And like you said, hindsight, yeah, I had a stiff neck, didn't really relate to what it was. And so, yeah, so that was kind of where your journey started. Did your neck stiffness start pretty much immediately after the tick bite, or was it some time, or do you recall?
No, it didn't start right away. It started when I got exposed to the mold.
Yes. And that, you know, anytime you get exposed to something, whether it's COVID or, you know, anything that's going to break down your immune system, that's usually when Lyme mm-hmm. takes over after it's been laying dormant in us for oftentimes a long time. Okay. So you got exposed to mold, and then I'm assuming your symptoms just really ran rapid. Kind of give us a rundown of what your symptoms were.
So many. I had Bell's palsy. I did best laying in bed in a dark room. I was not able to work. I had my gut, my inflammation and immunity were completely destroyed. I looked like I was 4 months pregnant. I couldn't button or zipper my pants. And this might be too much TMI, but that's who I am. I actually was driving to work on the day that I realized this is really bad, whatever this is. I drove to work and I had my pants unzippered and buttoned, and I had like a big shirt over it. And when I got to work, I, you know, shared that, and they were like, "What are you doing here? Go home." And I said, "I don't want to go home." And so they told me to go home, and I'm in the car and I started feeling really nauseous and I threw up. And then I also had like a accident in my pants. And I'm like, wow, that's it. I'm going to die in my car. And that was just my body completely shutting down.
Wow. Yeah. And that had to have been scary, right? And I know that, in fact, just a little funny story I will share with you and the listeners. In the midst of my journey, for several years, I literally looked 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And we're talking, this is from somebody, you know, I probably weighed when my journey started maybe 130 pounds, and I'm 5'7". So if that gives you any idea, I literally looked 9 months pregnant. And I will never forget, I was at one of my doctor's appointments and somebody asked when I was due. That day forward, and gosh, were they felt so bad, and I felt worse for them. But ever since that day, I made a vow to myself, unless somebody actually has a shirt on that says baby in here, I will never ever assume somebody's pregnant. I don't care if they're walking into the hospital looking 9 months pregnant. I will never say anything. I was just devastated. And so, yes, it's that it just wreaks so much havoc on our body. So I can completely relate to not being able to button and zip your pants, and then the incontinence. And I mean, what a scary thing. And so then what did you do? Like, you knew something was wrong. So did you just go to your primary doctor, or?
Yeah. Went to my primary doctor and they told me I had a sugar problem. And I said, I don't eat sugar unless it's natural from fruit. So I told them about the tick. They took 17 vials of blood and came back with, I have a sugar problem. And so I didn't believe that. I knew that was not true. So I had called the office to speak to the doctor and they wouldn't put him on the phone. And the secretary was very rude and mean, not sympathetic. And I said to her, you know, you're adding to my situation and stress is the worst thing for it. And she basically laughed at me. And I said, if you do not put the doctor on the phone with every bit I have left in me, I'm driving down there. And she didn't put him on the phone. So I drove down there, which I should not have been doing. I'm lucky I survived the drive. And I caused a huge scene in the lobby of the doctor's office. And I started telling patients that they should find another doctor, that they don't listen, they're going to make you worse. And all of a sudden, you know, the assistant manager of the office is like very upset with me and said, you know, the doctor can see me and to come in the back. So, oh, he's available now. So then he comes into the room and says, you know, I don't understand what's going on. And I said, neither do I. But I would like my paperwork. I want to get another opinion. I have that right. And I was raised, you get three opinions. So he still wouldn't. So then I lied and said I had an attorney, which I did not. And then they ran around and gave me all of my paperwork. And then
weren't going to give you your blood work?
No. Nope. They were fighting me.
So crazy. All right. Well, good for you for getting it. However you needed to do that, right?
Well, there's more to it. So then I brought it. I found a Turkish man, an older Turkish man, and I brought my paperwork to him and he read the blood work that was from this other doctor that said 1.1 or higher meant I had Lyme disease. And right there on this paperwork, it was a 4.97. So I had it, it was on there, and they wouldn't read it to me.
Wow. Must have had something to do with why they didn't want to give you your paperwork, right? Uh-huh. I think that there are probably doctors that are just not educated enough on this to realize what it is or acknowledge that it's an issue. And then there's also some doctors that don't want to share the information because they're afraid to lose their license, right? Mm-hmm. And then I believe that there are probably just some doctors who, I don't know. But nonetheless, so you have this paperwork, you see this Turkish man, and you now have a Lyme diagnosis.
Yep.
So what, obviously it sounds like you're familiar with ticks because you spotted one on your side, you pulled it off. So I'm assuming you had a little bit of knowledge about this. How did you go about even deciding how you were going to get rid of this?
Well, I just started researching morning, noon, and night because I wasn't able to work. So I decided to Google everything. And then it just sent me further and deeper into some answers that sounded like me.
Okay.
But when I had the stiff neck, I journaled a lot in the middle of the night because it was very lonely and I had nobody to talk to because I looked fine on the outside, but my insides were dying. So I started writing a lot. And that was like my friend.
Yeah. And I guess I may as well bring it up now. But journaling is such an important tool to this journey. And you'll discover that, listeners, as Stacy continues on with her story on how she recovered from Lyme. And I think a huge piece of it was from her consistent journaling. Mm-hmm. Because our bodies are designed to give us flags if something is off or something is wrong. It's the flags we need to learn to pick up on, right? Because if we don't pick up on them, then we don't realize our body is giving us a sign, but they are. We're amazing beings. And so by journaling your symptoms, things you eat, things you do, you really can narrow down and track down things that are affecting you. So I highly, highly, highly recommend journaling. And Stacey, it may not be the reason you started that, right? You started it because you were lonely and had to put your thoughts down on paper, which I commend you for doing. But I think the flip side of doing it for our emotional aspect of it is also for us to be able to truly, I mean, truly be our own advocate. And that is what we have to do in this journey. So
yes.
So you start Googling, right? And sometimes Google can be our best friend and sometimes we're dying yesterday. So it's always kind of a fine line with that, but you're discovering all these things. And so what was kind of the final piece that told you, I don't need a doctor. I know I can figure out how to support my body on my own. What was that turning point when you realized that?
Well, I knew I had to heal my gut, my inflammation, and my immunity. And that was going to help. That was going to happen with diet and lifestyle and environment, all the things.
And so you're absolutely right. Most people don't know that. Did you, what was your background? Did you have any, you know, any extra health classes in high school or whatever you want to call it? Like, how did you know that? Because so many of us don't, I mean, we just, it's almost like driving a car, right? Like we don't maybe really know how the engine works, but we know that we have to put gas in it if we want to drive it, right? So we know our body works, we know things that it does, but we don't necessarily know what we need to fuel it with to actually make it work. And it sounds like that was a stepping stone for you. How did you know that?
Well, I'm an esthetician for 25 years. So your skin is the largest living organ of your body and everything comes out in your skin. And so I just started thinking I need to be good to my body. You know, if you have a Ferrari, you're not going to put cheap gas in it. So I just had to cut out a lot of products I used, food I ate. I mean, so many things. My list was so long. And I just started seeing a difference in everything from my laundry detergent to, I mean, I live in Florida, so a lot of the water is hard here. So you need to have a filtration system. And just everything, dryer sheets.
It's amazing whether we think that we're, you know, live a semi-healthy lifestyle, it's amazing the things that are so toxic in our own home that is scary, right? Like it's not just our food. Most of us are aware of that, but the laundry soap, the body soap, our toothbrush, our deodorant, like so many things are so toxic in our lives that we really need to try to go the non-toxic route. But it can be expensive. It can be hard. It can be confusing, right? So, but you knew this. You knew that you needed to make these changes and you did it. And so let's kind of start with, you know, because everything kind of starts in the gut, right? So can you share with us some specific things that you did to kind of help support your gut?
Yep. Well, your gut is your second brain. So ginger is really good for the gut. If I had something that I didn't realize had an ingredient in it that I shouldn't have eaten, ginger would kind of cancel it out and make my stomach feel better, which would help my gut. I did a lot of probiotics, prebiotics, so kombucha, Kavita, the live drinks, drinking really good water, wild blueberries, avocado, which helps support just seeing how I felt after I ate something. And if I didn't feel good, I wouldn't eat it again. And of course, you know, I can't remember the last time I had fast food. I can't remember the last time I had a soda. There are companies that came out with prebiotic, what they call a soda that has good ingredients in it. I stay away from sugar. I cannot eat red meat. red meat I became kind of allergic to. Don't get me wrong, every once in a while I crave a hamburger, maybe once or twice a year, and I will have it, but I won't feel the best afterwards. So then I have to do a whole thing after eating it.
Okay. So now that you just mentioned the red meat thing, you know, because there's one of these co-infections at the AGS, alpha-gal syndrome. Did you have that? Because it's, you know, the other term is the red meat allergy, which there's a lot more to it than that. Yeah. But did you ever test for that? Or do you know if you had it or your body just didn't like the meat?
No, most people with Lyme disease, that's becomes a problem. It's a known fact. And dairy and gluten. So, and now, you know, gluten is talked about. There's gluten-free menus. There's oat milk, almond milk, coconut milk. So I do all those things.
So you really fueled your body with the good things that it needed and the probiotics and the prebiotics, and you use your food as thy medicine, right?
Yep.
So what other supplements and stuff did you get on board for that?
So many. I mean, because of my age too, I was having trouble sleeping. So, magnesium is real important for sleep. I would try to, wind down an hour before bed, not have any electronics, listen to music. I would do yoga and meditate. That was another thing. Like, I have to get on my yoga mat every morning. It's one of the first things I do. I stretch, I meditate, I journal. Yeah, get outside in nature is another big thing. Going by water, grounding, putting my feet in the grass, tugging a tree, which has so many healing properties and a lot of really good vibration energy. Getting rid of toxicity in my life, people.
Yes. So you just touched on so many of
the
things that I love.
Oh.
And so many people don't realize the importance of them.
Mm-hmm.
Our gratitude, right? Like, that is such a healing thing to have, is gratitude.
Yes.
Grounding, stretching, being, you know, truly just treating our body as the temple, yep. Right? Nourishing it with all the good foods that you need. And it sounds like you really kind of studied into like what helps with what, you know, what herb or what, you know, whether it was garlic or whatever it was, that's going to help support your body through what you're going through. So through foods, through supplements, through grounding. And again, you mentioned, you know, you did yoga, you do stretching in the morning, and that you were doing journaling, which is, again, fabulous. I think we all should do that. Mm-hmm. But also just the whole, there's a mind, body, spirit connection, right, with this journey. And I think that I'm assuming right now that was a huge piece to your healing as well. Is that true? And can you take us through kind of what you think, how you can explain in your words how important the connection of those three things are, your mind, yeah. Your body, your spirit, right?
Mm-hmm. So for example, I don't watch the news. I haven't watched it in years. But if I walk into a place where the news is playing, I instantly feel sick. I don't even see it. I just feel the vibration and I've got to go. So I really listen to my body. And what feels good is what I do. And what doesn't feel good, I don't. So I go into my bath. I take a bath at night. I was juicing.
What were some of your most powerful juices you did to help your body?
So one thing that I would like to mention is I worked with a natural integrative Eastern Western person. So he told me that the importance of juicing and gave me a recipe, which was a green apple, celery, ginger, lemon, and there was one more thing. And so I would juice it and drink it, and it just felt like it tasted like life. It just pure goodness.
And really? That's amazing. Because during our Lyme journey, many of us drink these really nasty tinctures, right? That we can't hardly get down our throat.
Yeah.
But here you do it the natural way, and it's delicious.
Well, you know, it takes 30 days to create a habit. And so I just knew it was good for me. And I got to the point where I didn't care what it smelled like or tasted like. If it was good for me, I was going to do it. So
that is too, like, where that power of the mind comes into play, right? Mm-hmm. You're telling your brain, this is what my body needs. Your body says, okay, I can do this. I like this, right? Because this is what it needs. Our mind is so powerful.
Yes. So then it was hard being around other people who were not doing these things. And then I didn't care. I was going to do what I needed to do for me. So then I would have to start bringing my food or not eating somewhere, leaving early or going late, things like that. Music is so important. So like the words of the music, the vibration of the music. Sometimes I would just listen to the words. Sometimes I would just listen to the music. So that was really big. I started reading a lot. I just wanted to learn. There were documentaries out. One's called Under Our Skin. You know, and then celebrities were talking, Avril Lavigne, Deborah Gibson, the lady from The Real Housewives, Kris Kristofferson. There were so many people, Alec Baldwin. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people.
There's many. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then recently Justin Timberlake. So, I just felt like I had a purpose. My tragedy turned into my triumph and my passion turned into my purpose. And then I use it at work with my clients, helping them on their journey of healing. And, you know, a product might be a good price, but what price is it really? By putting it on your skin, you're putting it through your whole body.
Right.
And then I worked with another lady who did body talk and muscle testing, where she would put certain vials on my stomach while I was laying down on this table, and she would move my arm a certain way. And based on how my arm moved, would tell me, oh, you need this, or no, you don't need that. So that was
speaking really- my language, girl, muscle testing, kinesiology, my absolute favorite thing in the world.
It's so cool.
Amazing, because they are trained to know what our body is telling them. Again, it's giving us signs and signals. Oftentimes we might miss them, and that is where muscle testing can play such a huge role in this journey. So I highly recommend muscle testing over any blood test, if I'm being honest, but that's my personal opinion.
Yeah. And she taught me how to do it for myself too. She taught me how to like hold up a prod. Well, you know what a pendulum is?
Yes.
So you hold up a pendulum and you ask it a question, and whichever way your body leans is yes. Like you say your name, whichever way you lean is the yes. And the other way is the no. And so then you can do it with holding products. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because you can. Yeah. It's the, how I was taught was the sway test, and just what you just said, you hold up the product, right? And your body's going to lean one way or another.
Yep.
And just for the listeners out there, that doesn't mean necessarily it's a bad product. It just means your body doesn't want that product, right? And so that's kind of important to kind of keep in the back of your mind. But I did actually just do a video in showing how to do this sway test, muscle testing.
Ah,
and posted it on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya page.
Nice.
So. Yeah. So I'm glad that you brought that up. And there's also Dr. Bradley Nelson wrote a great book called The Emotion Code. And it talks a lot about how to train your body different things. And it talks about the muscle testing as well. So sorry, I wanted to throw that in there.
No, I want to communicate and share. So you have things that you can, you know, touch on as well. It's not just about me.
It's your story, but I always like to throw my two cents in there, right? So you meet this lady and she's testing you and shows you how to test. And so then did you just kind of test all of the supplements to make sure that your body was liking it?
I started doing it daily. But the interesting thing is back when I met her, she was afraid for her life. She was afraid people were going to shut her down or take her out, literally. So you could only go to her if you were referred by somebody, and then you walk through the front door and it's all these supplements, and then the back is the magic. So that was many, many years ago. It's different now because people are talking about it more. So she moved to a space across the street and it's not quiet anymore.
Yeah, no, it's very, it's confusing for people to understand. Mm-hmm. And I get that because that was kind of what I turned to after I couldn't get the answers and my body continued to fail during my journey, was I had to just be open-minded and open my eyes and, you know, think outside the box. Mm-hmm. And allow something like this else to come into my world, because I felt like I had no other option. So I was kind of forced into it, but thank goodness I did. Like, I feel it was kind of divine intervention that needed to happen, because that is truly was the beginning of the road to my success on getting well.
I'm glad that you did.
Yeah. So it's much more talked about. So you truly just journaled your way through the F pharmacy, right? Mm-hmm. To support your body. Like, truly, Stacy, kudos to you. Like, that is amazing. One, you have to have enough confidence in yourself to do it, right? You have to have enough discipline to be able to do a lot of the things you probably did, right? Not maybe knowing it makes common sense, but most of us don't think like that. So, like, you should be super proud of yourself for that journey that you took down there by fueling your body with what it needs. Mm-hmm. And I love that you touched on, you know, the toxicity. It's not just toxicity in our body, right? Like, we got to detox that out. It's toxic food. It's toxicity in our household, the products that we use. But also, just as important, is it's toxic people.
Yes. Right?
And our bodies, we're vibration, we're energy, and you truly can feel somebody's energy from them. And it's amazing how you could stand with two different people and have the same exact 2-minute conversation. And one of them, you walk away feeling energized, and the other, you walk away feeling completely drained. It's the vibration that they're expunging from their body that we pick up on it. Mm-hmm. It really is huge. And it just, again, goes to show how truly incredible our bodies are. And so, yeah, it's not fun sometimes to have to cut out the toxic people in our world, but it absolutely could be a huge piece to your puzzle, right? And does that mean forever? I don't know. If it's family you got to cut out, maybe you need to do it until you get well, and then you can reintroduce it, right?
Yes.
So let's go into the breast. Your breast implants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't know anything about Lyme disease when I got bit by a tick and got the bullseye and didn't know what it was. But obviously over the decades, I've learned a lot about it. And I've learned, you know, again, about the toxicity in the world with everything around us. And just recently, I've been learning about the breast implant issues. I know that they have some Facebook groups on it, and they can cause a lot of health issues, you know, just like root canals can in your mouth and cavitations and all sorts of stuff. So tell us, when you got your breast implants, like, how long ago, the things that you felt from it. Yeah. And then again, congratulations on a year ago today was your day of removal. That also must have took a lot of courage to do. So just kind of walk us down that journey, if you would.
Okay. So 2011, I was turning 40. And I did the pencil test where, you know, you put a pencil underneath, and if it stays, it means you're drooping. And my pencil stayed. And
I've never heard that before. Okay. That's fabulous.
And so at the time, I didn't really care. But I was offered them as a gift. And that was not something I ever would have considered or thought about. And so they offered, if I found a doctor, they would buy them. And I'm like, I'm turning 40. Why not? So I did. And that was not me. And yeah, I had to adjust, you know, the first time you vacuum, just weird. And at the time I was working in Boca in Nordstrom's. I was the counter manager for a high-end makeup line. And a lot of people do plastic surgery and all sorts of things there. So, okay. And I was told they were safe. I did every bag is silicone, but I did the saline solution because I was told by the plastic surgeon, oh, if there's a leak or a rupture, the fluid will just go throughout your body and you'll be fine. And I didn't think anything of it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the saline because it's safer than the silicone, but the bag was silicone.
Made sense, right?
Right. And now every 10 years, they say you have to replace them. And then I don't know, we're in 2025. So 2005, 2006, 2007 years ago, just started feeling a little different to me. You know, they were settling different. And I was ignoring it and making excuses for it. And then I started hearing about breast implant illness, and, you know, I'm in denial, like most women are. And then, you know, you go for your mammogram. And the last time I went for a mammogram, I said, I have breast implants. You're not going to rupture it. You're not going to, you know, they flatten you like a pancake and squish in a vise. And I said, please be careful. And when she put one of them in, I screamed. And I said, please open it up and I want to get out. And so then I did an ultrasound. So the ultrasound, the women were talking for quite some time and looking at my pictures and whispering. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I have cancer. I have breast cancer.
Oh no.
But they couldn't read it because of, I went under the muscle. So now I'm like, how do I get them checked? And then I just didn't want to get them checked anymore. Then there's other things, but they're not covered under insurance, which my whole journey with both were not covered under insurance, all out of pocket for Lyme disease and breast implant illness. Mm-hmm. So now, now we're in 2022. I'm sleeping with a sports bra on every night because it's so uncomfortable. I'm a side sleeper. So I started researching doctors. The first doctor was in Jupiter, Florida. He, plastic surgeon, and he doesn't do breast implants anymore. He only does removal because he believes there's a serious problem.
That kind of says it all, right?
Yep. So he has a hallway with 8 rooms, four on each side, two across from each other going down. And he is bouncing in and out of all the rooms. And all these rooms are filled with women all day long. The day that I went, of course, as well, to get them out. A year and a half wait to get them out. So, wow. Yep. So I booked my appointment, and you know, that's like a 2-hour drive for me. I used to live in South Florida. Now I'm in Central. So I didn't want to wait a year and a half. So, the partner that he used to have was in Miami. So I went to him, which is even further. And he was like 7 months out, but that's in Miami. So now I'm going to have to do an overnight because they have to see you the following morning. So I'm going to have to sleep out both times, both places in a hotel or at a friend's house. And I wanted to be close to home. And both of these doctors, I booked the surgery and then I canceled. So I booked with the Jupiter, then I canceled, then I booked with Miami, then I canceled. And then I'm like, I'm just going to have to find somebody closer to home. So I found a doctor in Winter Park and I went with him. And Winter Park is a very high-end area. I did it a year ago today. I had them removed.
Wow. And so what did you notice anything besides just the uncomfortability of it after were removed? Did you notice some health changes and improvements?
Yes. But initially when they were removed, they put drains in. Not all doctors do, but it's it's highly recommended that you have them. So you have to several times a day. First of all, you can't sleep in a bed. You have to sleep in a recliner for like 2 weeks. And you have to sleep with a special bra and you have to measure the fluid that comes out of your drains several times a day. And then they do stitches, but they're dissolvable. So at first I was just trying to adjust to
recover from your surgery.
Right.
First thing, yes.
The old Stacy, why did she do this? And healing her and then accepting the new Stacy is why she's removing them. So I had a lot of time to think. And so then I just started, you know, feeling lighter. I felt healthier. I felt like me. I didn't have the pain. I used to get stabbing pains, throbbing, burning, and just some of my health issues. Yeah, they went away too.
Yeah, I mean, it really is crazy and scary at the same time on how, you know, putting a foreign object in our body, how it can really affect our health. You know, it's just like, you know, we're born with all these little organs and things inside our body, and they truly have a reason for being there, every one of them, right? In fact, I was just sharing something on Facebook the other day about how so many doctors are just so quick to pull out your appendix or your gallbladder, or there's a reason we have these, right? There's a reason we were given these organs. And so I'm not saying that, you know, don't have it removed if something's bad and it really needs to be removed, but there truly is that fine line. And again, we need to be our own advocate. Just don't go and take, you know, the first person's word on what we have or what we can do, you know, get those three opinions like you mentioned earlier in the show. So, wow. Well, your journey has just really been, it's been enlightening actually. Right. And there's a funny little story to that in a second, you'll catch on, listeners. But it truly has. It's amazing that you were so strong and resilient to fight the fight that you fought. And then even when you were feeling better, you didn't give up and you knew that your body did not want these implants in you and you had the courage to have them removed. It's a whole emotional thing. And like you said, you know, it's going through, I think the Lyme journey is a lot like going through a grieving process. There's so many different things we need to grieve. You had to grieve, you know, who the Stacy was with them, who the Stacy was without him. It's so much of this journey is emotional, and it really is that mind body emotional connection that takes place over this journey. So anyways, I had mentioned your story was very enlightening. So Stacy, if listeners want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Sure. I have a website. It's called enlightenedpeacock.com, E-N-L-I-G-H-T-E-N-E-D.
There's that word, enlightening.
And then Peacock, PEACOCK.com.
Awesome. And of course, listeners, I will put that information in the description of this episode. And I hope you just truly found this story of Stacy's inspiring, because it really is just, it's a, you know, validation to all of us that we can all heal in different ways, for one, right? Many of us do different protocols. Many of us do modalities. Stacy did everything by what she fueled her body with. There are so many ways to truly heal from this journey, but just knowing that we can heal from it is what we need to take away always, because we cannot lose that hope that we often do during this journey. So, Stacy, thank you so much for just being open and willing to share and vulnerable about, you know, certain aspects of your journey, because I really think it's going to help the listeners to just really get in touch with you and just truly about learning to get in touch with our own body and listen to it. So I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you as well. Thank you.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.